here's the thing. All entrepreneurs are misfits in some way, shape, or form. The thing that I found is, look, we all do a lot of the same things. We all work hard. We all break through barriers. You know, we overcome all that stuff. That's a prerequisite to be an entrepreneur. But if you look at high-performing, very successful entrepreneurs, one of the things that I've seen over the years, especially for those that I've worked at, is they usually have some sort of X factor. Now, that can be it's not so much talent all the time. It's usually systems they've created or a set of habits or things they figured out that – so a lot of times it's a lot of little things that add up to be, you know, a really big advantage that set them apart in their, you know, against their peers and their area of focus or whatever. That's what I call the inner misfit.
This is the podcast for people that believe they do not need to change the world. We believe it's all about becoming the most effective version of yourself in the moments in life that matter the most. This is
the Inner Changemaker Podcast. Instead of changing the world, change their world. Changemakers, what is going on, everyone? So grateful to be with each and every single one of you. This is Jay Wong, the host of the show, and I'm always having such a blast doing these mini intros for you guys. So I won't keep you too long because I want to make sure in our interviews episodes that you guys actually get to the content as fast as possible. I do apologize because last week I was in Naples and I brought my mic. I wanted to record, but you know, to be honest, there is so much happening on the back end of our business that it was so great, you know, to actually take a couple days off. And, you know, I felt bad on one hand because I wanted to create something. And funny enough, I wanted to create an episode on, you know, the idea of filling your cup. Right? The idea that you need to replenish before you pour into others. And so that is going to be coming very, very soon. I'm most likely going to be doing a live on that in the next couple days, maybe even today. But for this episode, this is something I recorded when I was still in Toronto. This was right before the holiday season. And it's with another podcaster who runs the Misfit Entrepreneur Podcast. And my man, Dave, is quite the entrepreneur because he runs his business. He's a family man. He travels around the world, and you're going to hear him talk about his kind of business, and you're going to hear me introduce him in just a little bit. But in this interview, we talk about how being a misfit is really an asset to each and every single one of us. I think for a lot of us, we grew up and we knew at some level that we weren't like everyone else. You know, we weren't normal. We didn't just fit in. We could mold ourselves to fit into the situation, but it didn't mean that we were like everyone else. And for me, that really resonates because I felt like that my whole entire life. So in this episode, we cover, you know, what to do if you're dealing with bad days. Dave gives some amazing tactical advice, things I've never even heard of, things that we have not mentioned on the podcast. We talk about how you can overcome obstacles if you're dealing with a lot, if it feels like your life is beating you up, your business is beating you up. How do you deal with all the tactically difficult days? And we also talk about why podcasting, meaning why did he choose podcasting as an outlet for himself and for his family, and how has that impacted the way that he looks at the work that he produces and the way that he operates as a father, as an entrepreneur, and as a creator. So really, really excited to bring you this episode. Once again, keep on lookout for the next solo episode. I gave you guys a bit of preview on what that's going to be. And one last thing, if you are not in our private community, make sure to hop in there. It is called Legacy Driven Entrepreneurs. You guys can look that up on Facebook, and I'd love to have you in there interacting with me, hanging out with me, because that is where I'm going to be spending a lot of my time moving forward this year, and it's kind of where I have been spending a lot of my time this year already. So as always, if you guys enjoy anything from the episode, if anything spoke to you, would love for it for you guys to reach out to us in Twitter, on social, via email. whatever rocks your boat. I mean, you can send us smoke signals. You could write us a handwritten letter, whatever is easiest for you. I'd love to hear what really resonates with each and every single one of you so that we can create more episodes, create more content. We are going to be going hard. And I promise this is going to be the year that each and every one of us steps into a better version of ourselves. We are going to create the highest level of impact that we possibly can. And I'm just excited to be side by side with you on this journey. So I can't wait to see you guys in the next episode, and I'll check in with you guys at the end of this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Inner Changemaker. So excited to have our guest today and be just kind of sharing from, it's always great when we have another podcaster on. He is known for his brand, The Misfit Entrepreneur. We got a chance to speak on the same stage a couple months ago back at San Diego. He has had some amazing people on his show, The Misfit Entrepreneur, people like Bedros Killian, Craig Ballantyne, who's also been on the show, and other inner misfits, which I absolutely love that considering we are the inner change maker here. He also happens to run a company called Grasp Technologies, which they are really a leader in data management and intelligent solutions for the travel industry. And they recently got named into the Inc. 5000 list. And I always find it really interesting for entrepreneurs that run businesses as well as podcasts and, you know, try to balance the whole thing with a family as well. So Mr. Dave Lucas, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jay. It's great to be here. And it's great to be here with all of you in the audience as well.
Yes, yes. So Dave, tell us, I usually, I'm going to ask you this question near the end, but I thought it would be kind of a good way of kicking it off for you, because I love the brand that you're running with and on your podcast. When you talk about inner misfit, what does that mean for you?
Well, so here's the thing. All entrepreneurs are misfits in some shape or form. All of us are in some way or another. I mean, otherwise we'd all be the same and that would be boring, right? Yeah. So all of us, you know, here's the thing. All entrepreneurs are misfits in some way, shape, or form. The thing that I found is, look, we all do a lot of the same things. We all work hard. We all break through barriers. You know, we overcome all that stuff. That's a prerequisite to be an entrepreneur. But if you look at high-performing, very successful entrepreneurs, one of the things that I've seen over the years, especially for those that I've worked at, is they usually have some sort of X factor. Now, that can be it's not so much talent all the time. It's usually systems they've created or a set of habits or things they figured out that so a lot of times it's a lot of little things that add up to be, you know, a really big advantage that set them apart in their, you know, against their peers and their area of focus or whatever. That's what I call the inner misfit. It's those little things, those things that they figured out that their competition has it that really sets them apart and has allowed mm-hmm. them to really thrive and succeed and reach that high performance level. And so on the show, that's what I do. I bring that out of them. So anybody comes on the show, I tell them, you've got to give your most secret, best, you know, things that you've ever come up with that have made you successful, because that's what we're trying to do to help others do the same. So they can take those things, learn from, put them into action. So that's where that really came from. And, you know, it's funny. It also kind of rolled from the fact that Grasp Technologies and building that company, I have no background in software technology. I went to school for management, finance, and economics. You know, the ragtag crew of misfits we put together to build that company, we got programmers that never went to school for programming. You know, they're self-taught at home, you know, and became interns. And now they're like our top programmers, you know. So it really is, you know, we've kind of called ourselves a roving band of misfits over the years. So it kind of also spurred from that a little bit.
Nice, nice. Well, Dave, let me ask you this, because we had dinner, you know, when we were hanging out in San Diego, and I have such tremendous respect for entrepreneurs that are able to kind of balance, you know, business, balance passion projects, balance their family, and they're able to do it well. And you guys are running like a serious company over there, right? You guys, how many employees again?
We're just below 50 at this point. And, you know, we've been growing at about a little over 50% a year for 10 years straight now. So it's you know, never a dull day for that.
I can imagine. So when you were like, you talk about this inner misfit and like some of these habits and just kind of realizing that, when did you really know you were a bit of a misfit yourself? Like when you're growing up, that was there anything that happened that kind of let you know that? Or was it really in building your companies that you started realizing that?
No, I think I've always been, I've always kind of bucked the trend a little bit, I guess, you know. I started my first business when I was 5. It's actually a good story. You'll like this because you're up in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
So I'll tell it real quick. So when I was 5 years old, I have two sides of my family. One grew up very, very poor, all made it out pretty successful. Some entrepreneurs, some in the business world. The other side was really successful entrepreneurs that were mostly retired by the time I was born. So I had, kind of interesting influences. But when I was 5 years old, I looked at my mom and I said, "Hey, I want to go create American flags and sell them to the neighbors." Okay. Yeah. So I did that. Construction paper. She helped me out. We put them in a little red wagon. I'm going up and down the street. Every single person, 5 and 10 cents. I'm closing every deal. I get to the last house on the block. Mm. And this is the house that the shades are usually drawn down. You don't see the people out much, all that sort of thing. And so I go up, muster the courage. I go to the door, knock on the door, and a nice older woman comes to the door, and I do my little pitch. I'm selling American flags, I'm done with it. And it's like a pause for like 3 to 5 seconds. And she goes, "No, thank you, honey. We're Canadian." And she shut the door in my face. That was my first kind of stab at rejection as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But I went back home, made a Canadian flag, and took it to her and sold it. So it had a happy end. So she was very nice about it. So, it's nothing against like Canadians or anything. It just happened to be her that day.
Well, Canadians are known for notoriously being overly nice, right? So I'm glad that, there's that connection there.
So I started kind of like, just even at that age, I was just bucking the trend. If you told me I couldn't do something, I would do it. And then I grew up and I was like, I got into sports and everything, and I was really good at sports. So I was really fortunate. I was a great American football player. Basically started, ever since I was in third grade all the way up through high school, played in college. But like during high school, where everybody would have been like, "Hey, he's a jock," I was actually a musician. I hung out with a lot of the stoner musician guys. I didn't really have an identity that like, "Oh, you're with the jock, so that's who you are." I kind of was just my own person, and I did what I wanted to do. And so sometimes that got me into trouble, sometimes it didn't. But it was just kind of a weird, dichotomy of like, growing up and, being one thing, here and another thing over here, and just, kind of working with everybody and playing with everybody in some way, shape, or form. You meet my business partner in Grasp, Eric. Bald head, earrings, tats up his arms, all that type of stuff. Genius, smart,
Right.
Musician, never played sports, all that sort of thing. And we're like brothers, and you look at me and I still have kind of that, clean cut look. I don't have earrings. I don't have tats or any of that type of stuff, but we're like yin and yang. We're like, a perfect meld together, So you just never know, man. It's not about, what you do or with, it's just who you are and who you believe you are, and making sure that you let your true self come out.
No, I love that because this past weekend, literally, I was giving a leadership training, and one of the things for I wanted to kind of move away from all the tactical stuff, but one of the things that we talked about was identity, right? One of these things, it's like, whoa, have you ever heard the quote, all roads to hell are paved with good intentions, right? Yeah. And it's like having good intentions in a world where we're living with such an abundance of content and everything, it doesn't necessarily, it's not like good enough, because like, it's about who you kind of define it in your head, right? But I love the differentiator that you talk about in terms of like identity. Don't worry about like the labels, but I'm sure in your head, like you had it in your mind that you are someone that, that you're going to be someone that's successful. You're someone that, that is a great athlete. You're someone that takes care of their body. You're someone that has that. Did you step into any type of identity for yourself, like in that range, especially when you kind of made that transition into entrepreneurship on a kind of a deeper scale outside of the flags?
Yeah. So this gets into, one of my favorite things to talk about and to help people with and teach is around, the power of your mind and the conditioning that you've had ever since you were a child to make you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people don't realize this is that, you know, we have two parts to our mind. We've got our conscious mind, which is that mind you think and do things with and everything, you know? Yeah. But then there's the subconscious mind, which is really the most powerful part of our brain, but it's also like the animal part of our brain, right? It's the reactive part of the brain. And so if you think about how much do you think to throw a ball or drive a car or brush your teeth or, you know, any of that type of stuff, reactions and things you say, how much do you really think to do a lot of that? You don't. It's really your subconscious reacting to the, you know, the thing that's put in front of it, right? Mm. And so what happens to us through our lives is that we get conditioned and we get our responses conditioned to situations in our life and different types of things. So people have specific responses to relationships, to money, to, you know, business, to yeah. their success, to what they think about themselves, all that sort of thing. And the biggest realization is that you actually can control that. And this is a hard thing for people to understand, but most people never realize that all these influences, parents, friends, media, culture, religions, school, all that stuff throughout their lives have shaped those subconscious responses that you have to things in your life. Mm. And if you don't like where you're at, or you don't like how you think about things or what you believe about things, you actually have the ability to change that and recondition your subconscious mind. Now, it's not like you just say, okay, today I'm a millionaire and all of a sudden you are. It doesn't work like that, yeah, you know, yeah, but yeah. you're 50% of the way there. It starts in your mind. And so, so for me, I was very, very fortunate to learn that early on in life. Mm. So I was able through, you know, my life to be able to notice patterns when I was really being debilitating to myself.
Yeah.
When I would say, I think, you know, this is a lot of money, you know, and I would learn to question myself and say, is that what I truly believe? Or is that something that was put there by an influence in my life? And mm-hmm. so at that point I could turn around, change it, put things into life to help foster the new, you know, way of thinking that I wanted to have. And that little thing yeah. is, it's a huge thing, but that little understanding is something that a lot of people never go through in their lives. But it's one of the biggest secrets. Almost every really high performer, every major, you know, success that you'll see has either figured that out and is mm-hmm. and understands it, or they naturally do it. Just some people mm-hmm. naturally do it. And so for me, going through life, I don't know if I always knew I was going to be successful. I don't know if I always like look. There's nothing like from my background and growing up and everything that puts me where I'm at today. There is no like it's like a crazy, you know, bunch of mixed mess of a path. There's sure. there's no, it was never ordained, you know? Yeah. But what I did know is that if I understood myself and I stayed true to myself, I stayed true to my core values and who I was, that I could overcome things. Mm-hmm. And it's the bigger the problems that you can handle, the bigger the challenges you can overcome, the bigger you can grow in your life, your success and everything else. And so that's just how I approach things. And so, you know, it's never, like I said, it's never a dull day in any business. It's a roller coaster ride up and down yeah. all over the place. We've had days where we were like one day away from closing the doors at Grasp, you know, and bounced back and figured it out. And, you know, all the stuff you have to do to just make it work.
So
you know?
I feel like a lot of people that are listening to this or just podcasts in general, but you know, specifically my audience, like, you know, everybody goes through these bad days, right? Everyone, whether you have a business or you don't, and especially if you have a business, your chances are you're going to have way more bad days. The truth is you're just going to have way more bad days than good days anyways, just because, you know, there's so much happening, right? Yeah. What do you have a, you know, like, how do you deal with that? How do you, manage like all the bad, because you know you have a family, you know you're running this podcast, you have a, you know, a growing company, 50 plus employees, right? I know you're traveling all around the world because you guys are working in the travel industry, you know. Right. So how do you deal with when everything seems like, you know, it's gonna, everything's on fire, or where you're just overwhelmed?
Well, remember I talked about people have their inner misfit and they've created systems or habits or things that help them to be more successful. So for me over the years, I've created some things like that. So every day I start off, I have my journal and I've got it right here next to my desk. Nice. Right. Yeah. And in my journal, it's very quick. It's maybe 5-10 minutes. Three things that I start the day with, three things that I'm grateful for to center me and remind myself that no matter what's going on, I have things to be grateful for. And the fact that no matter what problems I have, people have gone through much worse. And then the next thing I do is I write down my three to thrive. for the day.
Nice.
So my three things to thrive. So this interview right here with you today is one of my three to thrive for the day. You know,
made the cut.
Things that I got to focus on and just, you know, excel at. So that's one thing. But the other thing that this is going to sound so stupid to people, but it has made such a huge difference. So right in front of me is a whiteboard in my office.
Okay.
And it says, what type of attitude will I choose to have today? And then below that, it says great, fair, or poor. Every single day I walk in my office, I have to circle great, fair, or poor. And I can tell you, after over a decade of doing this, not once have I ever circled fair or poor. And so when I'm having a day where things don't go my way, or maybe we didn't get the deal or whatever it is, or, you know, one of my real estate properties has a big issue, or just things that happen, right? I'm staring at this board that I chose to have a great attitude all day. And so it snaps me out of things to say, okay, wait, I've chosen to have this great attitude. Look, put it in perspective. What are you grateful for? You know, there are people that have much worse problems than you. You can overcome this. Let's start thinking how. Let's start thinking logical. Take the emotion out of it, and let's make it happen. And that's how I get around it, right? It's usually the people that don't have a mechanism like that in their lives that have that kind of snowball day. You know, it starts off bad. It just gets worse all day because it compounds on itself and everything else because they don't have a way to snap themselves out of it. And you have to develop that sort of thing in your life. So those are two little simple things that I do, but they make such a huge difference.
I can imagine that making such a difference. Some of those things that you say, they're so simple, right? But my experience with those, the simplicity of it is that sometimes, one, not a lot of people do it, but two, they become these kind of self-fulfilling prophecies. Right. If you choose to, you know, have, you know, great attitude, if you choose to be grateful for things, it's almost like you're setting your mind to look out for more things to be grateful for or to have a better attitude. Right?
That's the subconscious that we talked about earlier. Yeah. For as much credit as we give it, it's really dumb. It's very rudimentary.
Yeah.
What you put in front of it, you know, it's going to happen. And the best way that I can explain that is, like, have you ever like seen a car that you really like and you're like, man, I'd love to have that car?
Yeah.
You know, have you ever noticed, like, once you make that decision, all of a sudden you start seeing them everywhere? That's your subconscious. Like, you didn't see them the week before. You know, like, I remember the first time I saw an Aston Martin DB9 and I was like, oh, that's the car. That's the one I'm going to, when it's time, that's the one I'm going to get. And I saw one like on it was like, I don't know where it was. It might've been like a Bond movie or something, but like the next week, I live in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of big companies here, but it's not the Mecca. It's not like, you know, Miami Beach or anything like that. I saw three DB9s in 1 week. You know, it's like, you know, it's amazing. So it is. That's what your subconscious, the power of it, will do for you. If you put the right things in front of it and you feed it the right things, it will continue to push you. It may not ever happen the way you think it's going to happen, but ultimately you'll get, you know, to the type of end result you're looking for.
Hey, Changemakers, are you enjoying the episode so far? Before we go a bit deeper, I gotta ask, want to go to the next level of your life by playing a bigger game? Want to finally step into the leader that you truly are? You can now grab a copy of my new audio training, How to Become the Leader You Truly Are, for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership. Inside the training, you will find my top three proven secrets from millionaires and billionaires that have been featured on the show. And by applying them, I was able to go from sleeping in my parents' living room to leading and running multiple successful businesses and began this endless journey of impacting those closest to me. You can become a changemaker too. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership. Now back to the episode. Yeah. You know, the funny thing about this, and this is like honest, like literally just happened like an hour ago before we even went live on this. Like, I was sharing on my Instagram story, I was like, today is like kicking my ass. Like, I'm being overwhelmed with all this real estate stuff is going. I have like so many interviews, right? There's, you know, I'm enrolled in these Italian classes and I'm literally the only non-Italian person that goes to these classes, and every day is really embarrassing that I'm there. But it's, you know, I do it for different reasons. But I also said on the story, I literally said, the reason I do interviews on Monday
is specifically in case these things happen, because this is one of those things that pulls me right back in, and I can get locked in. I can create momentum with this, right? And it allows me so much. It just allows, it's kind of like a, that's why I always say podcasting has always been not just a business hack, but a great life hack for me personally, especially when things are going all sorts of craziness. So I wanted to ask you, like, I kind of know the answer to this, but for people that don't, like, you started the podcast, Misfit Entrepreneur, I believe in 2016, right?
Yeah.
And so why did you start that on top of your business? Just to kind of,
well, I think any business or venture that you do should have a strong why behind it.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, you know? Yeah. So everything I've ever done, you know, that, you know, I still, like, I really am focused on Sellers Grasp. We have a real estate arm and some other things that we do. You know, there's very important whys behind each of those. And so the podcast actually came about because of my daughter. We adopted our daughter from China about 4 years ago and brought her home. She's about 18 months old. And in my youth, the younger days, you know, my early 20s and all that, I was really fortunate to study with a lot of the greats, like Zig Ziglar personally, Brian Tracy, he wrote the cover board for my book, and, you know, Tony Robbins some, and a lot of other, you know, even a couple of billionaires, right?
Yeah.
So I learned all the stuff, right? A lot of that actually I put in the book, but I found myself, I've got this 18-month-year-old, and just, we just talked about conditioning. We just talked about that. So as parents, me, I'm hyper aware to that. I'm hyper aware that the things I say, the example that I do, you know, all that stuff she's watching, she's listening to, that's becoming part of her, which she will have responses with someday in her life. And so these scenarios are coming up, and like things are happening, and these things bubbling to the top that I'd forgotten about, that I'd learned all this great information, and it's like getting triggered. And I said, wow, there's got to be a way to immortalize all of this great information for Hannah, who's my daughter, from her daddy and his misfit friends.
Bunch of weirdos, really.
So that's kind of how it all got into my rattling around in my head. And I said, well, how do I want to do that? Do I want to do like a video blog, or do like write to her so she has a, you know, bunch of emails? You've seen the commercials like with Google and all that. And I said, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I love the medium. It's got a great reach. You can take it on the go with you. It's not one dimensional like a blog is, or even a video. You know, you try to watch, I know people do it, but watch video while you're driving down the road in your car is not the greatest idea in the world.
Yeah. Not very safe. Don't do that.
So I settled on, you know, podcast, and I honestly didn't know how it would go. I just, you know, I said, look, I'm going to do this for that reason. I have, you know, a lot of great connections, thankfully, over the years that I was able to start and have some great guests on and all that stuff. But, you know, I just started figuring out like anybody else did. It was a one man show. It was my kind of my extracurricular, you know? Just started, I built the website. I put things together. I started figuring out all the crazy world that, you know, you seasoned podcasters all know. Just kind of did it as like anything else. And that's it. That's how it all came to be. It really was to leave behind, you know, this wealth of information. And it felt, you know, it would have been a shame not to share that with the world. And honestly, the way I viewed it from the beginning is that my why is so strong, you know, for her and leaving this, is that if nobody listened, it's not that big of a deal to me, because I'm leaving this for her. So, you know, thankfully it did catch on, and a lot of people do listen, and it's amazing how many great connections like you and others that I've been able to make, and amazing people that have reached out to me that, you know, it's had an impact on them and stuff. It's just, I never could have dreamed that would happen like that.
And so I totally agree, because it's, I think it's such a fascinating medium from every angle, right? From just listening to it to getting a chance to interact with other hosts. And, you know, like we met through a speaking opportunity, right? Where, you know, we both, you know, not necessarily from San Diego, but like we're both there, and, you know, we're both sharing the stage and kind of getting other people to share their message. I found it really interesting when you told me this, but is there a specific way that you start each episode?
I do. I mean, I have every guest tell their story of how they got to where they're at. Yeah. And the reason that I do that is I think one of the most powerful ways to connect is through story. Mm-hmm. I think that's just, you go back to just all the way back to caveman times, story was the way to connect. And I think, you know, for people, I do not want the guest. I tell the guest, I don't want to know your story ahead of time. And the reason being is because I genuinely want to be, I want to be enthused. I want to be surprised. I want to be engaged. I don't want to know everything you're going to tell me. Yeah. And that's what I think helps to make a good episode, because there's so many things that they'll spend, you know, 3 to 5 minutes telling that story. And I'll hear 4 or 5 things that like I didn't even know and wasn't prepared for. And we'll go off down the rabbit hole, you know, on those. And that's some of the best content. That's some of the best inner misfit type stuff that we get, you know, aside from maybe some of the prepared things that I want to ask and stuff, you know. So for me, I think that really it makes it exciting, and it you know, makes it interesting. Yeah. And you just kind of never know where you're going to go, which is makes it a lot of fun.
For sure. So let me, because I know for me, it's just been such an influential experience all in all, having, you know, people on, having them share their story, having them kind of share success principles, even like little tactical things like, you know, having your little whiteboard and circling, you know, good, fair, important. It's like you would never think of doing that, right? And sometimes like the weirdest, simplest things. So have you, having done so many interviews yourself, and I think you've had a number of episodes and a great guest on, have any of them kind of shared some things with you that became this, you know, a catalyst for a different habit or incorporating something in your company? Like, has it made a shift in your thinking, or have you found that it's just been so much great to actually create content for the community?
You know, I can say that every guest gives me something.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it and everything else. And so I, you know, one thing that I do, and it's, I guess it's more unusual for, you know, the industry and stuff, but I actually, edit and write my own show notes for every episode.
Mm.
And so a lot of people have them like transcribed and all that type of stuff. I don't. I actually listen to the episode, I edit the episode, and I do my own show notes for everyone. So they're pretty detailed. And for me, that's like my personal growth time, you know? So I schedule it, my normal schedule and all that stuff. That's my personal growth time each and every week. And there's just so much that I pull out of that and stuff. So, you know, can I say there's any one thing? No, but here's what I would say for those of you that have an interest, you can go to misfitentrepreneur.com. You can go to the podcast page or the archives page and just kind of peruse the titles and find one that maybe that sticks out to you, that has an interest to you, and then go ahead and read the show notes of it. If you don't have time to listen, read the show notes of it, and you'll see kind of the top things that I picked out from that person. But, you know, overall, there's some things that do stand out. One of the things that is definitely true, and I just actually wrote a blog post about this, is that adversity is one of the greatest advantages that you have.
Mm.
I know that sounds really weird, but adversity, those that understand that when you're facing adversity, you're growing, you're reaching new levels, you're having to bust through those barriers, you're having to encounter things that make you uncomfortable, things that, you know, if you can get through them, take you to a new level.
Yeah.
You know, if you can understand that and you can be excited about that, then that is something that is definitely something I see pretty consistently across the high performers. They embrace that. I embrace that. I love, you know, being in the boiler room. You know, that's when I think I it's really when I shine as a business owner and stuff, is figuring out how to get, you know, like I said, I've been like a day before closing the doors before. So I've had to figure that out and say, okay, how are we going to, you know, get through tomorrow and make that happen? And, you know, what can we do in the next 24 hours to do that and have to figure that out? And I think a lot of these successful entrepreneurs have their own way of doing that, but that's something definitely that I've seen. Most people are understand that structure equals freedom.
Mm.
I know that sounds kind of weird too, but
Craig Ballantyne, the more, he was the guy who came on my podcast and said, said that. And I was like, huh, man, that was a huge moment for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, Craig and Craig's got, I mean, there's a lot of the wealth. So Craig has the perfect day formula, which is really, really good. You know, where he talks about a lot of stuff, but it's true. The more structure and discipline that you put into your life, the more freedom you have. You know, my schedule is super regimented, 5:30 in the morning to 5 p.m. in the evening. Every single minute is accounted for. I know exactly what I'm doing the day before. I know exactly who I'm doing it with. I know exactly what the outcome I want is. Yeah. And that way, I can, you know, hit the ground running every single day. A lot of people that don't start their day with a plan or any structure, they just aimlessly go through. And anybody listening can relate to this in the sense that, have you ever had one of those days where it felt like you worked really, really, really hard, but you didn't have anything to show for it?
Mm.
You know, that's because you weren't being deliberate, right. just about what you do. You weren't being structured. You weren't being disciplined. So those are a few things that really come across. And the other thing is understanding what we talked about the mindset.
Yeah.
Whether they naturally do it or they figured out the reprogram themselves and to control how they think, because you're ultimately your beliefs lead to your thoughts lead to your feelings and emotions. Mm. And your emotions and action, or emotions lead to your actions, and then your actions lead to your results. You take out everything in between there, and your beliefs end up leading to your results. It's really that simple, yet that complicated at the same time.
Well, it's in there, because I've known a lot of people that say that structure, and it's so right. Like, to have that structure, it gives you so much freedom, because it allows you to know what to look for, how to win. Like, it gives you all these things to actually shoot at. A lot of these times people are going aimlessly. It's because they have a certain intention out there, but they have no idea what that means for them and how
they're
that
not
looks.
Clear. They're not clear on it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what causes the issue for people, is they're, most people don't get what they want because they don't know what they want.
Mm. I always joke that I always need like a microphone on the table for like these mic drop moments, but the only microphone I have is like, I'm using it. So can't relate to that. So let me ask you this, and I have the last couple questions here for you before we just wrap up. Where can people kind of follow your journey? Where's the best like spot that to send everyone?
A lot of it, you just go to www.misfitentrepreneur.com. You can kind of reach everything from there across all the social media. Pretty active on LinkedIn and Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, either as Misfit Entrepreneur or Dave Lucas, and that's LUKAS.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely connect with me. Send me email. I really read and respond every email that's sent to me. I personally respond to. I've got a team though that helps me get that stuff and everything. So if there's any way we can help, we'd love to. But that's probably the best way. Those ways to find me and to connect up.
For sure. So I'd love to ask you this, because I know a lot of everything starts with like a podcast, and like you do some interviews and you meet some amazing people. Are there any other projects that have kind of evolved, from the podcast? Like, what are some things that you're up to beyond the podcast, if people just want to maybe dive deeper with you? And you shared some amazing pieces of content, even in the simplicity of it, right? So, is there anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I'm really excited about this. We just launched it. Myself and Evan Money. I don't know if people might have heard of Evan before. Evan's another entrepreneur like me.
Yeah.
Super, super successful. Did it in the extreme sports space, and then in radio, and then in film production, and really as a coach and personal growth expert.
Yeah.
So myself and Evan Money have put together a really cool event called Growth Thrive and Revive. And we looked at things out there, and you can find it at growththriverevive.com. When we looked at type of events out there, a lot of it is like, all day type classroom setting and everything else. And we want to do something really different. So we put together this event where, everybody wants to grow and then thrive mm-hmm. in their lives. And then, find a way to enjoy life a little bit as well too. And so what we did is we're going to teach you how to double your business in 1 year. So you're going to walk away with a plan to do that. We're going to spend time working specifically on the challenges of your business. Mm. And then one day we're racing Porsches. Another day we're doing guided dolphin tours. We're having it at Terranea, which is a 5-star resort out on the West Coast in California. We're doing it in February. Only 25 people are allowed.
Yeah.
The first 10 can bring a guest. And so we're close to full up for that piece. We got some people that signed up that didn't want to bring a guest and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but check it out. If it's something for you, we'd love to have you. It's growththriverevive.com.
Awesome. And any chance you guys get, I don't know where you guys are tuning in from. I know this podcast apparently gets listened to in 123 countries, but anytime you get a chance to hang out on the West Coast with a great group of entrepreneurs, almost every time it's going to be a good time. So, that's amazing. I'm going to link to everything in the show notes. And then Dave, I wanted to ask you the last question, kind of how we started. The show itself is called The Inner Changemaker. So what comes to your mind, any pictures, any images, when you hear the word changemaker?
I hear the word changemaker. When I think of changemakers, I also think of people that have had a big impact on my life as well. So I think of mentors and people like that too. So I've been fortunate to have some amazing mentors throughout my life. One of those guys, if you ever get to read from him, he's an older gentleman now. He used to manage, run Rubbermaid and Huffy Bicycles. His name's John Mariotti. If you go read some of his stuff, some of his books and everything, he's one of the most down-to-earth, smartest businessmen you'll ever meet. And he just happens to live in Columbus where I'm at. So, you know, he, you know, we meet regularly. He gives me, you know, advice on things. You know, you got to have that sounding board. So, you know, as entrepreneurs, I think a lot of people think, oh, you go it alone, you do it all yourself. That's not the case, right? And I know it goes against what school teaches us, right? School teaches us, like, if you're taking a test and you, like, reach over to your, next to you and start talking about how to best answer the question, they call that cheating. Well, in the real world, that's how you succeed, you know? So that always baffles my mind, right? You get the best people in the room and you figure out that. So, you know, have a mentor. You know, from a change maker standpoint, if you want to affect change in your life, you want to be able to affect change in others' lives, learn from others. Don't just go it alone. You know, and that's one of the best pieces of advice that I can give anybody along their journey.
Yeah.
Seek out and find those people.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I really appreciate you coming on and just sharing, you know, a few minutes with us and sharing a bit of your family with us, sharing a bit of your story with us. And I really want to commend you, you know, for being a great mentor for your employees and for being a great mentor for your audience, right? I think you're a great example of what a change maker is, someone who seemingly does it all, but, you know, has that understanding and courage to be able to ask for support and ask for help and to be able to have that. So I commend you on that. That's part of the reason why I wanted you on the show. And, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thanks so much. And it's been such a pleasure to be on with you and everybody out in the audience. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah. So for everyone that is watching this, for everyone that's listening to this, make sure to go check out Mr. Dave Lucas. I'm going to link to everything in the show notes or in the comment section if you're watching this on YouTube. And remember, guys, it's not about changing the world. It's about becoming the best version of yourself so you can impact those closest around you. It's about changing their world. I can't wait to share another interview with you guys in another episode. Until then, stay amazing, and we'll talk to you guys very soon. Have you been thinking of leveraging podcasts and Alexa shows to help grow your business? Not sure maybe where to start and scared of wasting time on the wrong things? Let me be your guide as I show you the right sequences and steps to be able to launch a top-rated show on iTunes, as well as actually leverage your podcast and leverage your Alexa show to build out your business. Don't you think it's time that you put your voice behind your products and services? If you were drawn to this show, then I know that it's time that you got working on your message and sharing that with the world. Get my podcast creation roadmap for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap.